Hello, everybody, and good evening. I'm Dr. Walter Tzu. I chair the Public Health Committee at the Philadelphia County Medical Society. And on behalf of the Medical Society, and we'll be hearing in a few minutes from our president, thank you for joining us tonight. This is our Block Captain program. We have a jam-packed program tonight with lots of important information for all of you. And we're doing something new this time. Instead of meeting in person like we would like to do, we're meeting by Zoom. And there are technical aspects about Zoom that I want to go over. And our guru around Zoom is Robert Miyamoto. And I'm going to turn it back to Robert, who's going to go over the ground rules of Zoom.
All right. So I'm going to be consulting a little guide for myself. So please bear with me. Hello, everyone. My name is Robert. I'm going to be doing a short walkthrough of the main Zoom controls. Some people are listening on their phones, and so you'll be just fine, even if you don't use any of the functions that I'm going to go over. So everyone's computer or mobile device is going to be a little different. So things might not look the same as what I'm going to be showing here. The general interface should be similar no matter what you're using. So hopefully these instructions work for you. First, I'm going to be going over the mute button. You can mute or unmute your speaker by pressing the mute button on the left side of the bar at the bottom of the Zoom window, as shown here. The microphone icon will have a slash through it if you are muted. If you're calling in with your phone, you can mute and unmute by pressing star then six. Again, if you're calling in with your phone, you can mute and unmute by pressing star then six. If you are planning to speak, make sure that you are mindful of background noise, that you're positioned in front of your camera, limit distractions, and avoid multitasking. Next, I'm going to go over two other features, sending typed messages and raising your hand. To access a chat room, press the chat button shown here. The chat window should open up on the right side of your screen. Generally, it's on the right side of your screen. You can type a message by clicking where it says type message here. And when you're done, just press enter. If you're calling in on your phone, you won't be able to see the chat. So we'll try to use that as little as possible. Lastly, I'm going to go over the raise hand feature. You can use the raise hand feature to ask a question or indicate that you have a question. To use this, you'll press the participants button again on the bottom bar of the Zoom window. The participants window should show up in the same spot as the chat room, and that shows the names of everyone attending the Zoom meeting. There is an option below the names for raising your hand, and you might not see that depending on what device you're using. There could be a button that looks like three dots, and if you click that, there might be the option to raise your hand there, because that shows all the additional options that aren't shown. When you raise your hand, we'll be able to see it, and so we'll know whether you have a question. And so we would prefer you do that rather than unmuting your phone and just asking directly. You can actually raise your hand if you're using your phone as well by pressing star then nine. Again, if you're using your phone, you can raise your hand if you press star nine, and we'll be able to see that. So that's it, really. It looks like most people are muted, so I think we're good.
Well, thank you very much, Robert. So now it's my pleasure to introduce to all of you, Dr. Natalia Ortiz, who is the president of the Philadelphia County Medical Society, who will give us a few words. Natalia.
Thank you, Dr. Tzu. Thank you to the organizing committee. Thank you to the community for this night in which we are celebrating the trust between the healthcare professional and the community. the community that will promote the health and wellness of our people. It's so good to see so many of our community block captains participate tonight. See and hear. Thank you so much for taking your time this evening. It is my hope that one day in the future, we will see us again in person. For now, we have to depend on the technology, and I'm still learning. This October will mark the Philadelphia County Medical Society Block Captain's 22nd birthday, since it was started back on October 21st, 1998. The program has educated well over 100,000 plus Philadelphia lives with your assistance, and help disseminating health information and materials to your neighbors. Thank you so much for your service and your trust. We need your help now more than ever too. I hope you find tonight's program informative and helpful. As you know, the Philadelphia County Medical Society has always strived to be a trusted information source to you, our community, on the many healthcare issues, concerns, especially now that there's so much misinformation out there. So thank you very much for your trust. Looking forward to continuing this collaboration. Stay very well, healthy, and looking forward to seeing you, hopefully, live in the future. Now I will turn it back to our moderator, Dr. Walter Hsu. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Dr. Ortiz. Now I want to actually turn it over to our invocation prayer with Alice Wright, who's the founder and president of the United Block Captains Association. Alice?
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. My name is Alice Wright, president, CEO, and founder of the United Block Captains Association. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Father God, this is your servant, Alice Wright, asking and seeking for your guidance in this time of these difficult days. You said, if we ask, it shall be given. If we knock, the door shall be open. And if we seek, ye shall find. It's in your hands that we ask for your strength, guidance, and understanding. You know our needs, our wants, and desires. I ask that you continue to bless us. Father God, give us grace, guidance, and understanding to do thy will. Let us continue to have hope, because trouble comes to pass and not to stay. We'll get through this. It's in your hands. Father God, guide us through this meeting for the important community update that we will receive here this evening, so we will filter it out to our family, friends, and residents. These are all blessings we ask in your name, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Alice.
So
I'm going to begin, I guess, our program. But before I begin, I'm going to say that also at the end, I want to remind you of two very important things for all Block Captains. The first is the U.S. Census. The deadline for the census is going to be the end of September, and it's very important. If you have not, or if you know anyone in your block who may have been a shut-in or really doesn't seem that responsive, to make sure that you can knock on their door and make sure that they have completed the U.S. Census. And the second, of course, is November 3rd. We hope all of you are going to be registered and that you actually get a mail-in ballot and or are able to go to the polling place, but it's very important to vote. So with that, I'm going to turn now to Wanda Mitchell and Roger Moore at the Philadelphia Corporate for Aging, where they're going to talk about important community updates. Wanda?
Thank you, Walter. And I just want to say welcome to all of you. We are glad that you're here with us this evening. And on behalf of PCA's President and CEO, Naja Orr, we bring you greetings. So I want to say to you, where are we now and how have we been impacting the community, PCA? It was 5 months yesterday that PCA actually closed the doors for the staff to come in. So we've been actually working remotely. There have been some staff that have had to come in. The meal distribution center has not closed. We have been delivering home-delivered meals to those consumers who have been assessed. But also the senior centers in Philadelphia, there are 24 senior centers that have been providing grab-and-go lunches since March. We have really noticed the food insecurity in Philadelphia because of COVID-19, and we do believe that PCA has remained committed during this time because of that. We also, I know the produce vouchers is something that the block captains are very much aware of and would like to know the updates. The seniors are not coming into the senior centers. They are not coming down to PCA. We are now doing the process remotely. So we're asking that seniors go to our website, pcacares.org, to complete an application, or they can call our helpline. And Roger will update you with that number as well, as a reminder. But you can get those produce vouchers via mail. So once we receive your application, staff are processing the applications and will mail you the produce vouchers. They have increased from $20 to $24. And as some of you may recall, you have until November 30th to use them at certain farmers markets that will take the produce vouchers. So we're still doing them this year. It's just the process is a little different. I also want to say to you, with those grab and go lunches that I mentioned with the senior centers, touch base with your neighbors as you always do to see if someone needs a meal. As I mentioned with the 24 senior centers, you can call. The information is on our website, but you can call to reserve a meal just to let them know that you're coming. Also, if you like to volunteer, perhaps you'd like to volunteer and assist with delivering meals in your community, you can call the senior center closest to you and volunteer your services. We do appreciate it. The areas that are served are North Central, Northwest, West Philadelphia, Northeast, South. So quite a bit of communities in Philadelphia, Southwest as well. We've also been doing some virtual programming. If you go to our website, you'll see the link for chronic disease self-management, help yourself to health, as well as walk with ease. We know during COVID-19, many of the seniors have been isolated. This is an opportunity for some type of engagement if you go on to the virtual programming.
I'm on the phone with Colin, so I'll call you back.
I also want to mention Older Adult Protective Services.
Okay.
That is our program, our department, where if you see anything, self-neglect, physical abuse, financial exploitation, you can make a phone call anonymously, make a referral because you have a concern with a neighbor in your community. And we check those messages 24 hours a day. So please take note and call with a concern. Also, our caregiver support program. I wish I could see you so I can have you raise your hand and say how many of you know caregivers or possibly a caregiver yourself. That's an important program because it provides respite to caregivers. Perhaps you need assistance with purchasing goods or services or supplies. You can, in fact, call PCA and receive an assessment and find out information about the caregiver support program. Walter, you already took something off my list, the census. please, I just want to reiterate, please let your community, your neighbors know the importance. We must be counted. And as he mentioned, the deadline is September 30th. They moved it up. It had been later in the year, but that is so critical. And now I just want to turn it over quickly to Roger Moore.
Thank you, Wanda. Good evening, everyone. Just a pleasure to be here, being able to speak this evening. This has been a process, and it happened, and I'm glad that it's working out. PCA is still doing what PCA does. We're trying to serve our seniors the best we can due to the pandemic. I'm sorry, you hear my phone. I'm sorry. Wanda mentioned various PCA services. The main thing about the services, if you're interested in any of the PCA services, make sure you use PCA helpline number. And that number is 215-765-9040. You can call for whatever you might in your community. If someone needs a meal, if someone needs home health services, please call that number, 215-765-9040, to talk to a helpline professional that will provide you with information and let you know that assessment will take place. Now, we're not coming out to the homes as of yet. We're doing it by telephonic assessments, and but make sure you call. I always tell people that to call the number if you just have a question and you're not sure about something. Call the helpline number. That's the main thing to do, is call the number to be assessed so they can determine what type of service you would be appropriate for and what the need is. That's what that assessment is all about. With our in-home support program, we have 5 in-home support sites in the city of Philadelphia. Now, they're run out of our senior centers. They are still in there. No, they're working from home also, but they do the assessments the same way. So you could call in the helpline number to get in-home support. In-home support is about, you must be 60 and over, homebound, and have no long-term care needs. When I say homebound, that means you use a walker, cane, or human assistance. So if you need a meal, if you need a senior companion, if you need transportation, and these are all brief services, 6 months of services that you could get through the in-home support program. And we have, like I said, 5 sites. We have Lutheran and Children and Family Services in West Philly. And we have the Klein Life in the Northeast. And we have North City Congress in North Philadelphia. We have Center in the Park that takes care of Germantown, Mount Erie area. And Catholic Healthcare Services, which is in South Philadelphia. So if Wanda was talking about meals, food, you could call the in-home support site if you feel someone needs a meal that is 60 and over, homebound, and has no long-term care needs. They could get a meal. Not only they could get a meal, there could be another need that they might have. They do home repairs. Like if a window was broken, or a door was needed, or furniture was needed, that program provides those type of services. You'd be surprised when someone calls about a meal, there's other services that are needed. That's why an assessment takes place. So make sure you call our helpline to get the main number for the in-home support sites in your area. So PCA still remains committed to helping our seniors in the communities. And please feel free to call our number at 215-765-9040. And I'm not sure if Wanda has any closing remarks. Wanda? No.
As I mentioned, Walter talked about the census as well as the importance of voting. So I want to say thank you to all of you again, and I'm glad that you could join us.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you guys so much. That was great. Lots of important information. And if you're not sure, just call the hotline and they can help you. So I'm going to now turn to probably the most important thing that is on lots of people's mind around health, and that's COVID-19. And to help us with that, Jessica Kamm, who is at the Philadelphia Department of Health, and Alexandra Skula, who is also there, are going to keep update us about what's going on with COVID-19 and also around heat in this summer weather. So, Jessica?
Thanks, Walter. So this is Jessica Kamm with the Philly Health Department. Alex was actually very involved in another project last week and put a lot of extra hours in, so I gave her the night off tonight. So it'll just be me. I do have some slides that we're going to be showing. I know that we have a lot of callers who may not be able to see the slides. I would be happy to share them with Eileen, who could further distribute them to anyone who's on the phone tonight who might be interested in seeing any of these slides after tonight. So I'm happy to do that if anyone is interested. But I'll do my best to narrate what I have in the slides for everyone who's listening on the phone. So as Walter said, I'm going to give an update on where we are with the COVID pandemic in Philadelphia and then talk about how this relates to some heat planning that we've done, and then also talk very briefly about flu, which I think the next presenter will talk more about after this. So just some updates on where we are in the COVID pandemic in Philadelphia. So as of yesterday, we have had 32,432 cases of COVID in Philadelphia since the pandemic started here. The number of new cases yesterday was 88. So that's a case count that we do on a daily basis. Today that case count was a bit higher, although I created the slides yesterday, so I'm a little bit behind in the data. Today, the number of cases was 137 since yesterday, which I would say is pretty consistent with what we've been seeing over the last several weeks. And that is definitely higher than where we would like to be at this point in time. We really would like to see fewer than 80 cases on a daily basis. And so we're still seeing higher number of cases than we would like to see. I think the good news on that front is that we're also doing a lot more testing than we were a few months ago. So we're doing more testing, which means you will find more cases. So that is a positive, but we are still seeing more cases than we would like to in order to fully reopen Philadelphia again. In terms of hospitalizations, we are now at 6,537 hospitalizations since the pandemic started. And we have had 1,717 deaths in Philadelphia related to COVID since the pandemic started. So given this data, we would rate the overall risk in Philadelphia to be very high for continued community transmission. And one of the points that I really want to emphasize is I'm sure you've heard a lot about reopening plans, and the state has a plan which talks about different colored phases. Philadelphia also has a plan that's a little bit more restrictive. But when you hear the term the green phase, that does not necessarily mean that we completely go back to normal. So you've probably heard this terminology used in the news or in other settings. But even if we do go into green in September, that does not mean that we completely go back to normal and that we resume all of our normal activities. We still need to be very conscious about social distancing, wearing masks, and I think perhaps more importantly than anything, we really need to be very cautious about protecting our vulnerable population. So our seniors and those in the community who may have chronic health conditions. So that's just a snapshot of where we are with the outbreak. We are certainly in a much better place than we were a few months ago when we were at the height of transmission and hospitalizations and cases in the community. However, there of course is concern that we will see a second wave of COVID going into the fall, and that may coincide with flu season, which of course will be very difficult to manage and is something that we hope doesn't happen, and that we're doing everything we can now to help to mitigate that. Could we go to the next slide, please? So another point that I would like to emphasize is that the risk for severe illness related to COVID-19 does increase for older adults. And so that's a very important point that I would like to make, that your risk for getting very sick from COVID-19 does increase as you get older. And this is particularly true if you have a chronic health condition. So for instance, persons who have diabetes are at a greater risk of having a more severe disease course, or perhaps for mortality if they have that disease or other chronic health conditions. So you may remember from the earlier outbreak, well, when things were really very intense back in the April time period, where we were seeing lots of cases, that it was really affecting long-term care facilities and nursing home residents. And a lot of that does have to do with age and other chronic health conditions. And so one of the things that we're really focusing on is trying to protect those populations who may have much more severe illness and may be much more likely to have an adverse outcome. So I do want to emphasize that point, that it is very important that we protect our older adults and those who have chronic health conditions as well. Could we go to the next slide, please? Okay, so just a couple of tips about how to protect yourself. And when you're protecting yourself, you're also protecting those who are around you. So one of our most important messages right now for Philadelphia is to wear a face mask. So it is very important that everyone wear a face mask when you're out in public. We also encourage that you maintain social distancing. So that means staying 6 feet away from people who you don't live with. So anyone who's not in your household, when you're out in public, try to maintain that distance. I know that can be very challenging to do when you're out shopping or when you're out in the public. It can be difficult to maintain that distance, but do wear that face mask, and then as much as possible, try to avoid crowds. And then wash your hands frequently. And if you don't have access to hand washing facilities, then we recommend using alcohol-based hand sanitizer. The hand sanitizer should be at least 60% alcohol. That's what's effective against COVID-19 virus. You may also be aware from things you've heard in the news about all of the hand sanitizer products that the FDA has now determined are toxic. So do be cautious about the products that you use. There is an FDA list that you can consult to see which of those products are on that list of products that you should not be using. But do make sure that your hand sanitizer is at least 60% alcohol. Another tip that we offer is that you should stay home when you're sick, and you should encourage others around you to do the same. So one of the things we've learned about COVID-19 over the last couple of months is that many people don't have very severe illness at all, and some people may be completely asymptomatic. And so we do want to encourage people, even those who are mildly ill, to stay home if they're sick, if they have any of the symptoms that could fit with COVID-19. And that is a vast array of symptoms at this point that can range from respiratory illness to gastrointestinal symptoms. And so we do want to encourage people to stay home when they're sick, and to encourage those around them to do the same. And this would also be true with household members. So if you're in a household with an individual who may be sick, we'd like to encourage people to stay away from them as much as possible. So that may be difficult when you're sharing a living space, but as much as possible, definitely try to stay away from the person who's sick. Try to encourage them to stay in a separate room if that's possible, and clean frequently touched surfaces. And so by frequently touched surfaces, I mean doorknobs, countertops, faucets in the kitchen or in the bathroom. So any surface that household members may be touching frequently, those are areas that should be cleaned as much as possible. And I think in one of the upcoming slides, I have a few tips about what kind of products to use. And then the final point here is to know where to get accurate and up-to-date information. So I think we all know that there's a lot of misinformation out there, and we want to make sure that everyone has the best possible information, the most current information. So one of the sources that we can recommend is, of course, the Philadelphia Department of Health website. And I think I have that website address listed on the last slide. Also, the CDC is a great source of information. So just be sure that when you're consulting information or looking for tips, that you are going to a reputable source that has the best and the most current information. And so the next slide is just some tips about home cleaning for COVID-19. And this is an infographic that we have that I will be happy to share with Eileen, and she can send out to the group if anyone is interested in getting more tips on specific cleaning instructions. And so, as I mentioned, we do recommend cleaning and disinfecting those frequently touched surfaces. We have instructions for what kind of products to use. There is also an extensive list that the EPA has online of what products are appropriate. Bleach is always a good product if it's properly diluted. Of course, you have to be careful with bleach. If you have household members who might have asthma or other respiratory conditions, so you do need to be careful. But that's definitely a very effective product. And we have some mixing instructions here about how much bleach to use in terms of water. And so the graphic is a little bit small. We have this in a larger size, and I'd be happy to share that with Eileen, and she can distribute to the group if this is something that would be helpful. Could we go to the next slide, please? Okay, another point that I would like to make is about travel. And so you've probably heard a lot in the news recently about travel and how some states are having really a big surge in cases. And so we've got some states in the western part of the country, like California, in the southwest, like Texas, and then the south, Florida, that are having a very big surge in cases. And so one of our recommendations is that if at all possible, you should avoid traveling to any of those states. So we have a map on our website. There is an image that I'm showing in the slides right now that callers will not be able to see, but you can see the same map on our website, which depicts all of the states in red that are having a surge in cases right now and that we would recommend not traveling to, just given that surge in cases. And so we would recommend trying to avoid travel to those states. That may not always be possible. If you have work or family, there may be some travel commitments that are unavoidable. So our recommendation is that if you do need to travel to one of these states, or if you travel internationally, the recommendation is to self-quarantine for 14 days. And basically what that means is that you stay at home for 14 days, you don't interact with the public, you don't go out. That may be very difficult for some people to do if there are work commitments or other commitments that you have. So if self-quarantine is just not going to be practical for you, we would recommend that you wear a mask, of course, and that also that you monitor for symptoms for the next 14 days after returning to Philadelphia. So basically that means looking for any symptoms such as fever, sore throat, respiratory symptoms, perhaps gastrointestinal upset, any of these group of symptoms. And if you do have symptoms, we would recommend that you go and seek testing. And in another slide or two, I will get into some information about where you can access testing. Next slide, please. Okay, so one of the points that we also would like to emphasize, and I want to reiterate some of the things that our colleagues from PCA mentioned, is about protecting those vulnerable community members. So we have lots of members in our community who are over 65. We have many community members who have chronic health conditions. And so as much as possible, we want to put out the message of stay safe, stay at home. So the safest place for people to be is at home, as much as that is possible. And to support that, we would encourage use of telemedicine if that's possible for people who are staying at home. So trying to do medical appointments either over the phone or online if that's possible, rather than going in person. There are also some resources for food and medicine deliveries that individuals can use so that they don't need to go out to the grocery store or to pharmacies. I think pharmacies in particular may be a place where many people who are sick are going to pick up prescriptions. So if it's possible to have prescriptions delivered, that would definitely be a better option. Also, I've included the PCA helpline, which I know Roger just mentioned this several times. That is, of course, always a great source for helping older adults access different benefits and services. So we strongly recommend consulting that source as well. And then I have some information here for people who may need help with utility bills. So phone numbers for the water department, for LIHEAP, for heating electric costs, and then for PICO. So happy to, we have another flyer that actually includes all this information, so I'm happy to share that with Eileen, and she can put that out to the group tomorrow. Next slide, please. Okay, so the next thing I wanted to touch on is testing. So we know that at the beginning of the pandemic, testing was extremely complicated. It was very hard to access. There were limited resources due to national supply chain issues and a lot of other factors. Since that time, testing access has dramatically improved in Philadelphia. There are now over 50 sites where anyone could get a test for COVID-19 if they want to. And so one of the things I want to mention here is that the city now has a map that's on the website that lists all the testing sites that are available in Philadelphia, and then also includes some information about the criteria for testing for each of those sites. So some of the sites do have different testing criteria for who's eligible for testing. Some sites are, the testing, the access is a little bit broader. And then there are some specific requirements as to whether testing sites require appointments. Most of them do, just given social distancing recommendations. And so the website for testing is philadelphia.gov/covid-testing-sites/. So happy to share that out with the group as well. If anyone wants to look at the testing map and get more information about any of the testing sites. I do want to emphasize that our qualified health centers have been really integral partners in providing testing in all the communities in Philadelphia. And some of the health systems and pharmacies have also been really integral to also providing testing resources as well. So at this point, we're definitely in a better place with testing. We're probably doing close to 3,000 tests per day. We'd like to increase that number up to 5,000. That would be our optimal goal. And so that's what we're working toward. And the health department is also working now with a number of different community-based partners who have participated in a request for proposal and have now contracted with the city in order to set up more community-based testing sites. So those will be featured on this map as well. So definitely expanding testing, but still have some more work to do here as well. Next slide, please. So I just wanted to briefly touch on COVID-19 and heat. So we are approaching the end of August. We could still have another heat wave. We did declare one heat health emergency a little bit earlier in the summer, back in July, where we did have pretty extreme heat indices, so high humidity, high temperatures that did occur over a multi-day period. And so we did decide to declare a heat health emergency. Things were much more complicated this year in terms of the services that could be provided, because we don't want to bring vulnerable populations into cooling centers as we have done so in the past. So it's definitely much more complicated. So we have a couple of recommendations just for our, specifically for our vulnerable populations. And for those of you who are block captains and are checking on neighbors, these are, I think you've probably heard these messages before. I just want to reiterate a few things. One would be air conditioning. So any of your neighbors who have chronic health conditions, who may be homebound, if they have access to air conditioning, we would definitely encourage them to use it. That may not be available to everyone. And so going back to a previous slide where I mentioned some of the resources available through the LIHEAP program, that can be a resource to check into. Hydration is also very important, so encouraging people to drink water, not just when they're thirsty, but to just drink water throughout the day and to try to avoid sugary or alcoholic beverages, which have a tendency to dehydrate people. Definitely really focusing on water. And then educating people about the signs and symptoms of heat-related illness, so knowing what to recognize. So some of the different signs and symptoms that a person may be suffering from heat stress are very important so that they know when to ask for help. And also on this slide, we have I'm showing a flyer, which I can also share with the group, that just has some of the tips that that we do recommend that folks try to follow if possible. So again, those are sort of the typical things that we recommend during any summer, but of course this summer was very different with COVID-19. It really did impact the availability of cooling centers because the free library was not fully ready to be operational at the time that we did declare a heat health emergency. Now, they were able to activate several of their sites. And my understanding is that there was relatively low attendance at those sites, but we did have a plan to provide hand sanitizer, to provide surgical masks to anyone who was going to those sites, and to be able to provide social distancing to make sure that people were staying safe if they did go to the free library cooling centers. I think that we are ready to activate that process again in the event that we do have another heat health emergency before we get into cooler weather. And then of course, I wanna promote the PCA helpline, which is a terrific resource during any heat health emergency, which does help individuals with resources, but also we do provide health department staff who can staff the nurse triage line and can provide advice or other counseling to individuals who may be having health issues related to the heat. And then, of course, we also can escalate that to a home visit with our health department mobile team, which is comprised of typically a clinician from ambulatory health and then a sanitarian from environmental health services. So they usually go out as a team in the event that a person is really struggling with the heat and they need some further intervention, even if it's not, it may not necessarily be an emergency, because of course for any health emergency, we recommend calling 911, but this would be for that instance in between where the issue cannot be resolved on the phone, but it doesn't quite require 911 assistance. And so this is really for the team to go out in that middle ground and assess what's happening in the home and see if adjustments can be made to help whoever is having the issues with heat. Next slide, please. Okay, so just want to reinforce this idea about checking on neighbors, especially with this group. I know block captains are all very active and you're very engaged in your neighborhoods. And so just a couple of tips for you to take, if not this summer, but things to think about for next summer as well. So knowing who in your neighborhood is at risk and how to contact them, talking to them about what their plans are in the event that there is a heat emergency. So making sure that any of your vulnerable neighbors have a plan. So seeing if they have a place to go, seeing if they will use air conditioning, if they have air conditioning, and then just trying to talk to them about what their options would be in the event that we do have that heat emergency. Of course, we want to encourage everyone to make safe contact during heat events. So if you're knocking on doors or visiting your neighbor, make sure you're wearing a mask, make sure you're staying 6 feet apart. So all of the same social distancing recommendations stay in place. And we do need to remember to do all of those things. So just to, if you do check on neighbors, a couple of things you can look for. One is if they're using air conditioning, if they can, that they're drinking lots of water, that they're avoiding physical activity, wearing lightweight clothing, that they're familiar with the signs of heat illness, and that they know when and how to get help. So making sure that they are aware of that, the PCA heat line number, and what services are available through that line if they do make that call. And just my final point, and then I'll wrap up and be happy to take any questions. So we every year recommend seasonal influenza vaccine for everyone who is 6 months of age and older. That's the recommendation that's coming out of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention this year. And I just want to emphasize how very, very important that flu vaccine is going to be this year in the context of COVID-19. We don't know if there will be a second wave of COVID happening in the fall. Many people anticipate that that will happen. And so it could be a very, very challenging situation if we have both COVID happening as well as a lot of flu happening. That could be a really big burden on our hospitals. It could be very challenging for families and our communities. And so I really do want to emphasize the importance of getting that seasonal flu shot this year. We don't have great flu shot uptake in Philadelphia. That's part of a larger national trend where people are just less interested in flu vaccine. And so I just really do want to encourage everyone who's on the call tonight to, if you haven't gotten flu vaccine in the past, definitely do it this year. Encourage your friends, neighbors, and family to do it. It's going to be more important this year than probably ever in the past. So I would just strongly encourage everyone to do that. And I think the next presenter is going to talk more about seasonal flu this year. And so I think my last slide just has a couple of resources with some website addresses. I also want to mention the phone number for the Greater Philadelphia Coronavirus Helpline. This is a 24-hour helpline that is operated by the Poison Control Center in conjunction with support from the health department. So this number is 800-722-7112. And this is a number that you can call if you have questions about coronavirus, if you have questions about where to get a test. They have clinical providers who staff this line 24 hours a day. So it's a great resource for any questions that you might have. And the other thing I would mention is if you want to receive the health department health bulletin, you can sign up for our listserv. The link is included on the slides here. This is basically a listserv that we have where we put out information. We put health bulletins together on important topics that we want the community to be aware of. So we put out a handful of things related to COVID. And so if you're interested in signing up for that, there's a link to do that. And then on our philadelphia.gov/COVID website, we have lots of daily information about the pandemic in Philadelphia. We have flyers, we have other information that's printable. And so you can access all those resources on that site as well. I think that's really all I have, but I would be happy to take any questions if now is the appropriate time to do that.
Well, thank you so much, Jessica. And before we get to the questions for Jessica, and also I've neglected to ask if there might be questions for Wanda and Roger, but I want to recognize that State Senator Vince Hughes is with us tonight, and I want to know if he could say a few words to us.
Wow. Okay. Thank you, Walter, or Doctor. All right. Thank you. Known each other too long. Look, thanks to everybody for doing this. Thank you, City of Philadelphia, for and all of the partners and everyone engaged in pulling this together. I just want to commend everyone, and probably if anything else, just encourage folks. This is obviously, we've never dealt with anything like this in our lifetime. This is very tragic. It is painful on a number of levels, but we can win on this, all right? We can win on this. If we just follow, in spite of you know who, if we just follow the guidelines that are being provided here, that are being provided in Secretary Levine in Harrisburg, if we just follow those practices and just continue to be smart and vigilant, we'll get through this. We've utilized the coronavirus helpline, the 800-722-7112 number. I would encourage folks to access that as much as possible on any question that they might have, on any issue that might have. And you all are block captains, you're community leaders. You know the folks in the block, the folks in the neighborhood turn to you first, probably before anywhere else, for trusted information. You all are trusted messengers, right? So you're trusted messengers and you have trusted messages. Make sure that you utilize the helpline to answer any question that might come your way, because they're equipped to deal with everything, including the psychological and behavioral health issues, the trauma, the stress that is coming out of all of this. And I know it's a lot that's happening for a lot of people. So take advantage of the resources, utilize the 800 number, and just, you know, we are our brother and our sister's keeper in this one. We are our brother and our sister's keeper in this one. And if you always got a mask up, see? You always got to put your mask on, all right? And there's a not so subtle message on this mask, okay? Not so subtle, all right? So do this, VOTE, okay? I'm not telling you who to vote for. I'm not telling you what party to vote for. Get your vote by mail ballot now. Order it now so you can do that process early, because this relates to how we overcome this virus. So thank you all very much. Thank you, Doctor. Thank you, everybody. Keep working. Hang in there. We're going to get through this. Hang in there.
Thank you so much, Senator Hughes. Appreciate your joining us tonight. So with that, I'm going to ask if anybody has questions for any of our current speakers, Wanda, Roger, or Jessica. And I see one of the first questions in the chat, which is, can we get a copy of these slides? There's lots of information here. And the answer is?
Absolutely, yeah. If you tell me what the best way to get the slides out, I can share everything with Eileen. If she's the best point of contact, happy to share my contact information. Just let me know what the best mechanism is, but I can share the slides. I have a couple of flyers with some more detailed information. So happy to share everything we have. Just let me know the best way to do that.
Okay, great. And Another question that I got is it possible to get free masks for those on our block, especially those, especially kids, I guess. So do you have an answer for that?
I can provide my contact information, and if the person who's asking the question wants to contact me directly, I'll see what I can do. We don't necessarily have a program right now for, you know, sort of widespread mass distribution, but I do want to make sure that people do have access, and so I think we might be able to help out with that. We don't have a widespread program to do mass distribution, but I might be able to help.
Okay, great. And I also know that SEPTA, I think if you don't actually, you have to wear a mask to get on SEPTA, but if you don't have a mask, I think some of the big stations, they will provide you with a mask. So that's another possibility.
And also Walter, people are not sure where to locate masks. They do have a Metro Pharmaceutical store. So for example, like a CVS or a Walgreens, the Rite Aid, they do have masks in those stores.
I've also seen them now at Lowe's and Home Depot and some of the other big box stores. So that might be a possibility as well.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So are there other questions out there?
No, but this is Eileen, and I just wanted to say probably the best way for anyone who wants the presentation from Jessica, what you just heard, if you could either give me a call and call my office number and leave your name and address, or if you have the email, okay, if you have the email, I can certainly, whose email I have, I'm going to shoot all of you an email and ask whether or not you need them and want them. So those are the two best ways that we can get that. So I can make sure that I have either send this to you electronically for everyone's email that I already have, I will do that. But if anyone needs a printed copy, then definitely I would need to know that to make sure I have the correct address, okay?
Okay, great.
Eileen, I have a question. Could we post it on the Philadelphia County Medical Society website?
Absolutely. We will also put it on the website. That's very good, Dr. Padula. Thank you. And thanks for being here tonight.
You bet.
I should mention that we are recording this, so I don't know if there's some plan for posting it somewhere. Are there other questions for Wanda, Roger, or Jessica? You can, let's see, now I see a hand raised from 215-380-0743. Was that intended that way? Hello, 215-380-0743. If you have a question.
Maybe the folks on the telephone are muted. Maybe they, whoever wanted to ask a question can unmute themselves.
I don't think they are muted, but if they are, the command to unmute is *6.
Okay. Well, in the meantime, Robert, I wonder if you could say something, since you're here, about the Why I Wear a Mask campaign, and there's a poster or something that we want to show people. Do you want to talk about that?
Robert as in me?
Yeah, Robert, like in Robert Miyamoto. Or maybe you, Eileen. Do you want to say something?
Sure. Both Mark and I are happy to talk about this. This is a program whereby we're trying to get the word out to ask everyone, as Senator had said, Senator Vincent Hughes had said, please wear a mask. So this is a little fun idea for those of you who like to be on Facebook and on media, which is a great way to be able to get the information out to the public, to your family and friends. So this poster that you're seeing right here, we will send you this copy, and what you should do, and I probably should have done it tonight to give you an example, But what you want to do, if you have a printer, you print this out, and we want you to hold it up next to your face and take a picture and post it, so then this way it gets sent across to everybody to get the message out to please why I wear it. It is the Why I Wear It campaign, and I know that Jessica, if she's still on, can also mention, I know that the Philadelphia Department of Health is also trying to promote this, but the more information we can get out there, please plead with people to please wear a mask, the more it will certainly help all of us. We know that this is not going to end until we get a vaccine, but my goodness, we could really get those numbers down if we could get everybody to please wear a mask. So any questions, please let me know. And we will also send you this poster as well for those whose email addresses that I do have. And we will also have this on our website. So it's basically simple. This poster, you print it out, you hold it up with your picture so that everyone sees that we're asking everyone to please wear a mask. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you so much. Are there other questions for our current speakers? If not, we're going to move on to the last one. And that last but not least is Sharon Graham, who is our regional administrator at the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services right here in Philadelphia. And for those who don't know, CMS is the largest branch of the Department of Health and Human Services, and they are responsible for our Medicare and Medicaid programs. So Sharon, could you talk to us about your thoughts tonight?
Sure. Everybody can hear me okay?
Yeah.
Thumbs up. All right, terrific. Yeah, so thanks, Dr. Sue. I really do appreciate the time to Eileen, Dr. Ortiz, even just for a few minutes to follow on what Jessica was just talking about, specifically about the flu campaign. And as our agency, as you mentioned, Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, we really have a dog in this race, so to speak. We want to try to get to as many seniors as possible who are particularly susceptible to the flu, and this year particularly susceptible to the COVID-19 also. And we really feel like it's the partnership at the grassroots level, as Senator Hughes said, the trusted community resources that are out there for people to believe that this can be done. And again, to quote Senator Hughes, I loved it, we can win on this too, you know, if we can just get the message out for people. So what CMS is doing is we're still in the process, actually, of building a campaign this fall. I'll talk to you about the pieces that I know. Our goal is to have a real solid launch that follows on the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, on October 1. So we're spending this time of August and September building our data, targeting our resources, and building our campaign, and doing a little bit more of what we call a soft launch, really just kind of using opportunities like this to start to get the message out before we really hit things hard come October 1, because our administrator, Seema Verma, has really charged us this year, more challenging than any other year, to move the needle on the flu vaccine. Over the last several years, basically, vaccination rates have been flat. They've plateaued. And in fact, in our region, which is the Mid-Atlantic states, we even have a couple of states, thankfully not Pennsylvania, but a couple of states that are even below 50% vaccination rates. And so she has really charged and challenged us to get the vaccination rate up. And, you know, this year, particularly with COVID, it is going to be a challenge because people are sheltering in place. They don't want to go out. Especially to places that might have high foot traffic there. We know there's vaccine hesitancy on the part of a lot of people for a lot of really good and valid reasons. But those are some vaccine hesitancies that, again, we really need to start to work to overcome. And so we know that particularly this year, we have to be creative and we have to be all in. We have to be targeted. We have to be clear. Because we really just need to reach people where they're at. And I'm really hopeful that that's where you come in to help us out here locally. I was actually coming home today. I was in the office in Philadelphia, and I heard something really interesting this year about the flu vaccine and COVID that I hadn't heard before. But as I'm sure many of you are aware, the symptoms very much mirror each other, flu, COVID. And as Jessica pointed out, we don't want to be overwhelming the emergency rooms potentially with people who have symptoms and think it might be COVID. Rightfully so, going to the emergency room when in fact it's the flu, and they can get a vaccine for the flu to basically rule that out. So if you have the vaccine and start to experience these same symptoms, again, you all know what they are pretty much, headache, nausea, vomiting, fever, those are more likely than if you've been vaccinated to in fact be COVID, that should send you to the emergency room. So if not any other year now, simply for that reason, so that you can in fact rule out flu as a possibility. So what are we exactly trying to message? And I think that this one is really critical in a city like Philadelphia. Medicare pays for the flu vaccine 100%. There is no cost sharing for that preventative service, and many others, actually, I might add, but specifically for this campaign, whether you're in original Medicare, whether you're in a Medicare Advantage plan, the flu vaccine is free. You will not have any cost sharing. We also want people to know that the vaccine is available in many different places where, in fact, social distancing is clearly observed, like in your pharmacy, especially in your pharmacy, but also in places that are offering those special hours where vulnerable populations, such as senior citizens, can, in fact, get the vaccine. So go to your local food store that has a vaccine clinic, or again, oftentimes the pharmacies will also have that particular type of hour, maybe it's even a larger window that's available to you. We're encouraging people to use those options. And again, we're going to be looking for more and more creative ways to get out to people, to reach people where, and we used to always say this for Part D, but it's true with a lot of our campaigns where they live, work, play, and pray. You know, that's where we want to really capture people. It gets the majority of our beneficiaries. But really, who are we targeting this year? We have over 60 million Medicare beneficiaries. We're looking at the vaccination rates. Where we really need to focus our efforts this year and where we intend to use our data to drive our efforts are to target our low-income population, specifically the dual eligibles, people who are eligible for both Medicare and Medicaid. So we're working with our dual eligible office, in fact, to potentially expand a postcard campaign that they have and to also use a lot of their data to overlay with a couple of other of our target audiences, specifically African-American, Hispanic, and hard to reach individuals, specifically disabled people who are typically more homebound. We are also partnering with Walmart this year. And I saw an interesting data set the other day that I'm hoping to find more about, but we were able to overlay all of the Walmart stores with the vaccination rates for particular counties. And so I actually don't know how many Walmarts there are in Philadelphia, but I suspect we'll be trying to reach out to every single one of them. And this data includes the pharmacist's name in that particular location. So you can be assured that my office and the staff that I have, we have four people particularly devoted to outreach, they will be calling those Walmart pharmacies to find out what we can do to partner with them. We're also doing a paid media campaign, so especially for people who are on social media, we fully intend to be launching a lot of digital ads across multiple platforms. We plan to at least be launching our materials across the country in Spanish and in some other areas such as California where there might be a higher Asian-speaking languages. I believe they're also targeting some hotspots in particular languages there. As I mentioned, we're studying our local demographic breakdowns and hope to get down to, if we can, even to the zip code level so we can identify key partners in those areas. So we know who we have in our own database of partners. And if we can match that up by zip code, again, with the data for the flu vaccination rates, where Walmarts are, where our African-American Hispanic populations are, we tend to then prioritize those areas and try to hit it hard there too. We've also updated our Medicare website, which hopefully you know is medicare.gov. We'll be updating that messaging. So right there on our homepage, anybody who's visiting that website will see information and be able to drill down into where they can get a vaccine locally for themselves. That second piece, getting the vaccine, is still the piece we're working out. So fingers crossed that's going to work for us. We also have for our beneficiaries on the explanation of benefits that you'll be getting quarterly with all of your claims. It will also include information on getting the vaccine shot as well. And we're partnering with a lot of our federal partners as well, who work in our federally qualified health centers and our local city-based health centers to make sure that the flu is not only available there, but also that the messaging is there and that the education is there for people so that while they're actually there getting their health services, they can in fact be vaccinated too. One interesting thing, I probably should have mentioned this when I talked about our rollout in October, is that some people might ask, especially if the flu vaccine is available in September at doctor's offices, and it might be, why we're not starting as early as September. I actually didn't know this, and I found it interesting, but the efficacy of the vaccine, that is how well it works, would wear off over time. And it makes sense since we do have to get vaccinated every year. I just hadn't put two and two together. So what we don't want to have happen is for the vaccine to be losing its effectiveness at the tail end of the season. So that's really what's driving our more of our start date for an October heavy push with this message. Coincidentally, it also combines up with our open enrollment period, which, you know, perhaps Eileen, you'll have you back next time to talk about open enrollment. But as you know, for Medicare, that starts in October for us, and for the marketplace as well, follows quickly after that, which is another program that we oversee. So really, my ask here for you today is to keep the flu vaccine top of mind. I'm hopeful to have more information that I can share through Eileen to spread around to the network, that you can be right there with your neighborhood, with your community, to talk more about the flu vaccine and to really strongly encourage people that it is no more important than in this year to get the flu vaccine. I realize it's hard for people to want to go out and to make themselves vulnerable, but think of how much stronger you'll be able to make yourself once you have that vaccine in your system and to keep the flu away from you and to keep you healthier there in your home for the rest of the season, to enjoy your family and to enjoy the rest of your community.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you so much, Sharon, for those words. And again, two of our speakers have talked about the importance of the flu vaccine. So I hope all of you take that seriously and get immunized and tell all your friends to also get immunized. And also thank you about sharing about open enrollment, which people, at a time when people are going in and out of health insurance, this is an opportunity to go to the Affordable Care Act website, healthcare.gov, and learn about how you might get coverage. So before we wrap up, I did put in the chat if there are topics that anybody would like to hear in some future meetings, either you can speak about them or put them in our chat on Zoom, and we would like to use that to help shape our next program. So I'll stop and see if there are any burning topics of people. And also, I want to hear if there are any questions for any of our presenters tonight that anybody has come up with. Because if not, I'm going to turn it back to Eileen, and she'll make our final remarks, if that's okay with you, Eileen.
Raise their hand.
I'm honored. Thank you very much to everyone. And I really cannot thank everyone and so much for being here tonight and all of you on the phone. So you know how to reach me. Do let me know when we complete this program tonight, the topics you want to hear. We know we're bringing Sharon Graham back. We know we're bringing, obviously, back Jessica and her team and our wonderful team from Philadelphia Corporation for Aging. Wanda and Roger, thank you so much. I know we have other members from our team, Public Health Committee members that are on here. I want to thank everyone tonight. Please stay well. Please stay safe. Please wear your mask. Help us pass the information around. A huge thank you if Senator Vincent Hughes is on. And I think for a final farewell, I'm pretty sure that our Executive Director, Mark Osterberry, is on. The cooperation from everyone is incredible, and we all need each other. And obviously, we're so sorry that we can't be together. I think this was an absolutely excellent program tonight. We found out that being virtual, meeting together is just so very, very important. And Mark, would you like to add a few words before we adjourn tonight?
At first, someone did have a question.
Okay.
No, this is Robin Evans. I had put up for a question, but I just wanted to say excellent job once again, Eileen, and all of the members of the team. You know, you have been steadfast in providing the community with updated information for at least the past 20 years that I know of. So thank you for your continued service, and thank you to the block captains, because none of this would happen without them, and we need them more than ever right now. So thank you.
Great.
Well, thank you again, Robin. That was great. Eileen, anything else? Otherwise, I want to close this out.
Oh, absolutely. I just look forward to hearing from everybody. And again, I just want to give special thanks to everyone, to the committee, and especially to the block captains. And also, thank you, Robert.
Okay, well, thank you very much. I want to just say that without the help of Mark, Eileen, Natalia, our president, without the staff, and Robert, without the staff at PCMF, this show would not occur. So I want to thank all of you for all your contributions, and I believe we are adjourned. Thank you so much.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
There is one more thing.
Good night.
Oh, one more thing? What, Robert? Oh, yes.
Most important.
Get out and vote and fill out your census. Yes.
Thank you. Good night, everyone.
Good night. Good night.